Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug, ignored a leaky faucet, pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects, but there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone and in just a few taps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Welding instructor Alex DeClaire knows VR training platforms like ForgeFX help students master their skills.
There's a big learning curve with welding. Virtual reality simulates that exact muscle memory that they need.
Learn more at meta.com/metaverseimpact.
Split Zone Duo. Splitzoneduo.com. Thank you for your support of our program. And there's no greater thank you than getting to spend time with y'all and have y'all spend time with us. My name is Stephen Godfrey at 38 Godfrey. Whew, folks, it is National Title Monday, but this is the intro to our live show recorded at Rockefeller's in Houston, Texas, Saturday night, January 6th. What a night. So what you're about to hear is our actual sort of recorded show. If you've been to one of these before, you know we do about an hour. This one ran a little long for your listening pleasure. I hope all of the fun visuals that inadvertently happened on stage sort of make it in audio form. But then we do, of course, we turn the mics off. We do the off-the-record Q&A, which I think is mentioned on the audio track. I didn't want you to think that the show was just like cut or the file was wrong. But that's the beauty of coming out to one of these live shows is that we stop the recording. We kind of do an intermission. We come back on stage and we just talk to y'all. And then we do a meet and greet and we basically stay till everybody goes home. It's awesome. I want to thank all of our sponsors that made this happen. I can't impart enough how much this is just like a three-man job of a podcast that has become a company. It is stunning. It is amazing. I'm still processing how big these things are getting. This was our biggest show yet. This was our best turnout. This was our best crowd. Sorry, DC and Minneapolis. You guys just keep improving. The show was brought to you by Homefield, first and foremost, our longest termed partners, our buddies, our t-shirt friends. Thank you so much to Homefield for everything they did. We had a fun sort of segment inside of that where we opened some mystery bags and mystery boxes, and I believe that made it into the show recording. We did that live on stage while fans got to sort of open mystery envelopes. I want to thank Homefield first and foremost. I want to thank Yuengling and Yuengling Flight raising the bar on light beer. Yuengling Flight was a sponsor. If you've seen pictures online, you probably saw all the cool Yuengling stuff that was hanging in the facility. And then also, a lot of people were enjoying some complimentary Yuengling flights. So thank you, Yuengling. That's hard to say. Nokian Tires were, you know what? If you show up at one of our shows, you got a really good chance of winning a free set of tires, at least. We also had a bunch of people at the end of the night when we were doing the meet and greet, rocking those Nokian Tires hat. I love to see it. You do love to see it. Nokian Tires, thank you so much. It is a beautiful journey. Please go out and buy yourself a set of Nokian Tires because it's a beautiful journey. Also, thanks to the American Heart Association. They sponsor the Bear Bryant Awards. We gave away tickets. If you are from Houston or that Texas area, you know how cool the Bear Bryant Awards are. It is a bougie event, fancy event, with some big-time coaches and fancy people. We gave away a pair of tickets. Thank you to the American Heart Association. One of the segments you will hear in the show, we did an improv review of the 2023 season at random. People scanned a QR code. They donated money to the American Heart Association, and then we kind of did what they told us, picked a team, picked a direction to go in, and talked about their 2023 season. And then, obviously, we want to thank you guys. It's... You hear me stammering as I'm reading off of a script. It's just because I'm overwhelmed in a positive way by your support. It's funny because Mrs. 38 Godfrey was there and some of her extended family, which is, you know, my family by marriage. And it was weird because they just, you tell people you podcast, that can go a lot of different ways in life. And I think it was funny to see my family so blown away by how big, how passionate, how compassionate, and how positive this community has become. And it just makes me happy to think about it. And thank all of you Folks traveled from all over the country again. Folks also turned out big from Houston and all across Texas. Folks drove from, I heard Dallas, I heard Austin, I heard San Antonio, I heard, let's see, north of Dallas, which to me in my brain just means Oklahoma. We had people fly in from all four time zones in the United States. Again, that blows my mind. We had a ton of friends and colleagues from the media that were at the show. So shout out to everyone at The Athletic, everyone from the front offices at Conference USA, Pac-12, Sunbelt, I know were there. I think some people from ESPN actually showed up. And when you hear the first segment, you're going to understand why that's particularly funny. So, all right, without any further ado, please enjoy our third official Split Zone Duo Live, brought to you by Homefield.
We're coming, and we ain't backing down.
We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror.
Will you shut up?
I'm bitterly disappointed with the officiating today.
Guys being dudes.
And they run through our like through a tin horn, man.
Thank you, Lee. And thank you guys for coming to home to Split Zone Duo Live presented by Homefield Apparel. Homefield Live, it's close enough.
It looks like Homefield Live.
But then, look, they did pay enough money for it to be Homefield Live, but that's next show.
I'm Alex Kirshner.
Pause for applause.
Thank you.
Stephen Godfrey.
I'm Richard Johnson.
Good to see a lot of friends here. Already starting to pick out familiar faces and soon to be familiar faces. Want to say thank you off the top to Homefield Apparel for making this evening fundamentally possible.
Clothing literally everybody here.
Clothing, I mean, it's a majority. This is what I think our friend Josh, who's here somewhere from Homefield, likes to call Homefield Con, as all of our live shows have been. So they're kind of the main characters tonight. Make sure you find them. I think they've got a beer tab running somewhere. Honored to be in business with you wherever you are. I still can't see you. And hope that we don't offend you too badly with the content of tonight's program.
We're not talking about Indiana football, so we're okay.
No.
Right off the top.
I do hope that everyone gets comfortable. There is a bar to your right, my left. There's another one upstairs. Fully stocked. Wine, beer, liquor, whole milk. Got all kinds of things to make sure that you get through the night nice and toasty, feeling great. I see a decent Washington
team. Yeah, what do we got? Yeah. I was expecting another particular team that might be active. I don't see a lot of those logos. I see. All right. Yeah. So, all right. How many? Real fast. How many people are here just because you're from Houston? You're from this area? Like.
Okay. Okay.
Look at that.
How many people are skipping the Texans game to be here? All right. Go Jags.
The National Football League. All right, so it's mainly people that just wanted to come and support us, and it has nothing to do with any kind of football game on Monday, right? No?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's here from Michigan?
Michigan fans, where are you at? Where are you at? You can line up.
Oh, good, they're above me. This is.
They're keeping a watchful eye over you.
Just by coincidence, this is great.
How long was the flight from Seattle for the Washington people here? What's that, 3-4? Long, okay, long. Appreciate you making the trip to be, again, first and foremost, with us tonight. Saving, you know, cutting into savings, I guess, because you have Piscataway in, like, September. So you have these big road trips that you're going to be doing, like, every year going forward now. As is, I guess, like, the volleyball team and the basketball teams. And it'll be great. Conference realignment's great. Everything's in a perfect place. I had a long flight as well from Los Angeles. Go back with Jim Harbaugh, maybe? I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see. He said today, he was like, yeah, I hope I have a future. So that's where we're at when he was asked about his future. I don't know, man.
He said he hopes he has a future.
Yeah, it's Jim.
Full stop.
He was asked about the future.
Like he's worried about his mortal life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
He has set probably a record in the last, I don't know, 7 weeks going back to the sign stealing, Well, there's a lot of Michigans here.
Yeah, the what?
The witch hunt? The witch hunt, Michigan fans?
All right, okay, all right.
The charade? Okay. He has been saying a lot to say a little.
Let's just do it. Let's just get it out of the way. Let's talk about Michigan and Washington, and then we don't have to do it for the rest of the night, okay?
All right.
You ready?
Yes.
That's fine.
Okay. When you're ready.
I'm sorry that we have to do this to you.
No.
And talk about
just
it.
Go ahead.
The possibility of Michigan winning a national championship here in a couple of days. This is kind of like a short, quick turnaround national title week. They are still doing like the dog and pony show beforehand. You were at Media Day today?
I was at Media Day today. Yeah. There are some friends from the media in the audience. Appreciate you guys for coming. Some of them are in the back, I think, the athletic contingent. Raise your hand if you think Stephen Godfrey hates you. He doesn't, but...
I can't see, so it's all right.
Media Day was good. Jim Harbaugh was weird. Kirk Herbstreit's dog. I don't know how much you people spend on your hair and the whole look. Kirk Herbstreit's dog is the most manicured animal I've ever seen. I mean, this... Golden Retriever, I'm assuming Golden Retriever, fluffy, plush, very nice to the touch, and Kirk bringing it around, I think, has been a very interesting subplot this season. It was on the field at the Rose Bowl. I'm serious. This dog, Kirk Herbstreit's dog, was on the field at the Rose Bowl, goes with him on the plane when he goes to Thursday Night Football. Everything was pretty crazy. But other than that, nobody really made any news at Media Day, which makes my job easier and their life probably easier, because... at this point in time, the hay is in the barn. For God's sakes, can we play this fucking football game? Jesus. Godfrey, I'm sure you agree.
So speaking of the dog, I wonder who Ben Herbstreit is picking in the game.
What?
What?
What is your posture here? What is it you've been...
I can't wait to find out on my Watch ESPN app.
Huh.
This is a bit of a departure from your relatively relatively anti-corporate kind of dour disposition the last few months. What's been happening here? What are we talking about?
I kind of haven't told you guys this. I haven't told the audience that we pride ourselves on being an independent media outlet, but I just think with the way the market's going, I think, you know, aligning yourself with a corporate partner makes a lot of financial sense. It's a lot of security. So you don't know this, but at least for this segment or any content that we do on the national title while we're here, we're technically brought to you by ESPN now.
Jesus.
So accordingly...
we got him. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Based on some emails that I've received this season, ESPN PR will be writing my responses for this segment.
I thought that ended when they fired me.
Well, I'm very excited for the Watch ESPN app. Just keep going.
It's not what it... Yeah.
Fucking terrible.
I think we have public relations representatives or conference officials or you know, institutional officials from ESPN here somewhere. Sorry.
Jesus, from
the Sun Belt.
They wrote it.
Great. Probably no beef with Godfrey there. You've never said anything mean about the Sun Belt.
G5.
Conference USA in the house.
Still G5.
You know, but not Liberty specifically.
Someone boo Conference USA.
Yeah.
Oh, we're Rice. Okay, Rice fans. All right.
Fight a child in the parking lot afterwards.
Richard, I want to talk about the second team all Pac-12 quarterback. And he's a good one. Michael Penix Jr.
Yes.
It's kind of funny because he did not win the Heisman Trophy. Go Tigers.
All right. They're here.
And yet, Lord. I think that if he, particularly with an injured running back who he might play, but it doesn't seem optimal.
Hey, we're all a game time decision at this point in time of the year.
If Michael Penix Jr., would you agree with the sentiment, wins this game the way that he would probably have to win this game by throwing 40 times for 350 upwards of that yards, like, is this an all-time, like, a top five college quarterback season that we've ever seen if that happens?
I don't want to recency bias it. I mean, you know, obviously everybody wants to compare this Washington team to the 2019 LSU team. I get it. At their best, yeah. The problem is 2019 LSU didn't have any down weeks. They didn't have any down games. And Washington did, because apparently Arizona State is the team that unlocks how to defend Washington. I don't really know how. They escaped by the skin of their teeth. And then obviously we'll see on Monday how Michigan chooses to defend Washington. What Penix has done, I think, aesthetically is like neat, right? He's a lefty. It's got this like reverse Phillip Rivers thing to it. The ball just gets out. Like, it doesn't matter if like you're right in his face, you're half a yard away, the ball is getting out. It jumps off his hand. And it's usually obviously going deep to one of three incredible NFL receivers, one of them who is not as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. The Roma Dunze thing, you're on that hill and you're going to die on it.
Hater. I guess we should just judge college football based off of NFL draft position and not even care what happened on campus. Is that your position?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, fair enough. Steven?
Hey, guys. I was listening to my favorite program, The Paul Feinbaum Show, every 3 to 7 Eastern time on the SEC Network. Please check your local listings about Jim Harbaugh abandoning his young men to hide from the NCAA and Kirby Smart in the NFL.
Weird. Odd.
All right.
Again.
I just read what they
I'm
told
glad him. These were approved by Bristol.
Yeah. The Michigan offense. Kind of funny that we are still doing this for a guy who's playing in his third college football playoff, but I actually do not think that we entirely get the J.J. McCarthy deal yet. Like, I still don't really know.
Well, here's the question. What do you want from him? What is the thing that you want from J.J. McCarthy?
It's not what I want from him. Well, I think what I might want from him is to be around at, like, 21, 22 in the draft for the Steelers.
Okay. All right. But if anybody has this final score of the Steelers game, by the way, when that comes, somebody on this stage is acutely interested in that result.
But I think what Michigan has not needed all year is for him to win them a game in the way that Michael Penix Jr. has had to win, like, I don't know, half of Washington's games. And there's no, you know, there's no like law of football that says that has to happen.
17-7. Ooh, they scored again.
Hell yeah.
17-7 Steelers.
It's an NFL podcast.
But it's interesting because I think that, like, Richard, I think that, like, a couple years ago, it was starting to become this in vogue opinion, probably around the 2020 Alabama year that came on the heels of LSU and Burrow, that, like, you needed a set the world ablaze type of downfield passing quarterback in order to win titles anymore. This had been after Clemson with Trevor Lawrence and Watson. It had been after Tagovailoa at Alabama. You know, I think you might have been right when you said on the show at some point a couple years ago that, like, at some point we're going to go back a little bit to being able to sort of win with man ball and with a mixture of RPOs and Blake Corums, and Michigan might be about to do that, and that's cool.
The other interesting thing I think about Washington specifically is I was talking to some folks at Media Day, and, like, college basketball, right, the model is – in some respects, old teams can win, right? The old teams with, like, good guards can win. And with all these COVID year extra guys, like, you've got these teams that are going to have a bunch of fourth, fifth, sixth year guys. Is that a model? Is that a canary in the coal mine for who will be kind of at the end when we get into the 12-team college football playoff? Like, is that a new model that you can kind of pull off here for the next couple of years until the COVID guys rinse out?
Speaking of Washington, it's such a tragedy to see the death of the Pac-12 conference and its historic pageantry, because realignment has ruined the soul of college football and forced unnatural rivalries on fans. Also, let's be sure to save the date for Texas at Vanderbilt, October 26th on ABC.
I'm sure Benny Herbstreit will be there.
I'm real excited.
Are you backed off your game pick, or are you deeper into it from the show this
No,
week?
Hell no. We do not retrench.
All right.
We do not recede. We proceed. We press on. Michigan covers.
I don't know about that.
Don't get cold feet. You pick Michigan on the show. Stand
on
business.
Washington to cover, Michigan to win. I think Michigan by 3.
Now you're hedging. Michigan wins, Michigan covers.
You know what? Washington wins the game.
Okay. All right.
That's kind of corporate insurance that I just took out there.
He doesn't want the college game day graphic to go viral.
And look, the game day fellows have been they were cutting edge in this regard. I think they realized like 4 or 5 years ago when the internet started to dominate consumption of that type of program, that you can't get caught with your pants down with all 5 or 6 pickers going one way and it goes the other way. It is not good for business if you do that.
That's a great take, Alex. Just like all the takes on the Pat McAfee show. Tune in next week when Aaron Rodgers explains how Purdue Pete did 9/11.
He doesn't mean that in any actionable way.
It was on the card.
He reads what's on the card, man. He's a professional.
It was on the card.
He's a professional.
That wasn't me. That was what PR told me to do.
I'm glad that you're in a better mood tonight about the state of the sport.
I'm really fired up for the family of ESPN programming.
I'm happy that you've come around.
Fantastic.
Did you like my story about Corso on Herb Street?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
On ABC.
Thank you. I worked hard on it. We have a fun thing to do right now. And it incorporates some good works that I'm told.
Yeah, so some of y'all were doing the charity while we were backstage. Make some noise if you were donating. Woo! Oh, I know it was more than that. I literally have the list. Come on.
So the 2023 season is almost over. Not yet. 2 Division I football games left yet to play. But we thought we would do a little bit of improv based on your charitable good works. This is brought to you by the American Heart Association and the Bear Bryant Awards, who have been excellent partners as well in the development of this program, along with our dear friends at Nokian Tires, along with Homefield. These things take a lot to pull together. And one of the exciting things that the AHA has going on right now is just in conjunction with their general fundraising drive, there's an opportunity that if you donated via the QR codes that I believe were around here somewhere, not only would you be supporting research, treatment, support for a very important medical cause that touches a lot of people, but also the chance to win 2 tickets to the Bear Bryant dinner just here in Houston.
If you're from Houston, you know that is a lot fancier than we're selling it out to be, for sure.
Very, very much the case.
All right, let's review the 2023 season. You ready?
So, yeah, if you donated...
Yep, I've got a list right here.
List.
We thought about doing a really in-depth analysis of the 2023 season, but... Then no, we didn't want to do that. So you guys are going to do it for us. Okay, those of you who donated, some of you gave schools. Some of you, I'm just going to call out the name. You're going to give me a school, and you're going to tell me whether you want it to be positive or negative. And we have to do it for about 60-odd seconds, or it gets uncomfortable or litigious. The first name is Alexa Newman, and it says, you ready for this?
I am ready for it.
Since we're all in Big Ten country now. And the first school you think of when you're reviewing 2023, boys, tell me about Rutgers.
Jesus.
I'm going to pop for Rutgers.
New York's Big Ten team. So positive or negative? What do you want?
I think it's positive. Hey, did it...
That's not what I thought you were going
to
say.
That's bowl Rutgers to you. Why do you not know? You're
three
from,
podcasters
you
bad at improv.
Yeah, it is Brooklyn's Big Ten team. I do appreciate that. I appreciate the folks at Rutgers. Yes, bowl Rutgers, right? Yeah. If you were trying to chart the progress of a, Jesus Christ, long-term build at Rutgers, a bowl in year 4? Was year 4?
And in year 3, I believe, because of, it was a COVID-assisted bowl. Like, someone couldn't go.
Okay.
I mean,
yes,
it counts.
Yes.
It counts.
Yeah. So a bowl, it's you're on a trajectory, right?
Yeah. What if theoretically next year?
Good running back, Monongai. Wims at the quarterback. Probably the most. This is a relative deal in the Big Ten this year, but probably the most fun running quarterback in the Big Ten. We'll take that.
Okay.
Like, you know.
Okay.
That came up though because in the prep, in Michigan's prep for Alabama, we asked basically the whole week at the Rose Bowl. We're like, what quarterback have you faced that's kind of like him? And the best they came up with was Talia.
All right.
That's right. All right, that's Rutgers.
Time's up. You ready? Well, I was just thinking maybe, like, you know, if they have another solid year, he's a proven recruiter in a difficult area. Let's say an SEC job opens.
Tennessee.
Like, I just... All right. Skylar Holland. This one's actually fun. Tulane. Tons of things to say about Tulane, right? Positive?
Tulane, I think, is interesting because there are a lot of teams that seem, like, on the cusp to you know, break into the upper echelon or have success or take positive advantage over NIL. And I don't think anybody really thought that Tulane was going to be one of them. But I think what Willie Fritz really did was show our favorite term, proof of concept. And when you show that, I think people at Tulane are ready, willing, and able to spend a little bit of money for
any,
the cause.
Any
and
UH out here tonight? U of H?
You should be very
happy. A little louder. A little louder. Yeah. You should actually be very excited.
You got a ball coach ass ball coach, man. He can coach.
John Summerall, all the same thing, because technically it's a Tulane question. I mean, defensive coach.
And I think the thing with Tulane is that money, now that NIL is legal or now that paying players is legal, you can activate a certain type of donor. And Tulane has that certain type of donor combined with recently winning football.
What do you mean certain type of donor?
If you get that, you get it. And we're moving on.
Move on.
I don't know what he's talking about.
No, please move on.
Next.
I don't see alumni status. Is there a Peter Heggs? H-E-G. Oh, in the front row. Oh, yeah. Is this where we're going?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so all week I've thought, we always have a vast representation of schools, all that. Would anyone from Ohio State show up and wear stuff?
They're
and
everywhere,
he's in the front
of
row.
Oh, yeah.
Very.
What do you mean? Is someone from Ohio State going to show up?
I feel like that's like a Michigan joke about like a lawn service or something horrible that you're about to say. Okay, positive or negative? I do have to ask that right now. Things haven't been great.
Ooh. Okay. All right.
Ooh.
I'm going to get...
So, Ryan Day seems to me like a really solid guy who cares about his players, who does not embarrass the program in the ways that Urban Meyer might have or Woody Hayes might have, or even the relative way that Jim Tressel did on the way out. He seems well-adjusted. He seems like he values the right things and is a good ambassador for the school.
They definitely
and
have a
at
quarterback.
Ohio State University, that just is not going to work.
So
wait, so he's trying to be too much Michigan at Ohio State?
He's saying they need to up the scumbag, basically.
Yep. I think it only works at Ohio State if you've got a bad individual as your head coach. Like
more scumbag.
Way more.
I mean, he is, I will say.
What's that? Don't like that we only think we can win if we have a sociopath at coach.
Are you familiar with college football? So,
yes.
That's
so
right.
I want to, for those listening up in the balcony or at home.
Do you watch the SEC?
The point is that I don't like that we can only win at Ohio State with a scumbag, but.
But.
Hey, nobody man, likes a quitter.
Them, all right. Them banners fly forever.
All right.
Man.
Steelers win.
Hey. There we go.
We're editing that out. Is there a Krista Tell Johan? I'm killing these names. Anybody? Nope.
No, she's
they left.
She
where?
Asked.
Where?
A team?
Oh, there we are. All right, what are we doing?
Southern Methodist.
Ooh, Southern Methodist.
Southern Methodist.
Bad or good?
Positive or negative?
Positive.
Oh, positive.
Well, you're a basketball school now. Sorry.
Well, it seems like it really chapped Florida State's ass that you guys got to join the ACC.
It's called fucking up the curve, man.
Take that. I mean, that's great. Fantastic. Yeah. I'm glad that we've moved, like, now that the season is winding down, we can kind of restore FSU to more of an antagonist from a protagonist point. That's where they should be. If you're a blue blood, that's where they should be.
It's hard not to think of them as a G5. I mean, it is weird. That's not even a joke. I mean, I don't know how they're going to fit in at all. I like everything they're doing. I was a little disappointed you ran out of beer for Texas State. That felt awkward. But I mean, yeah, Richard, from like a coaching perspective, fits Texas staff good? Like, yeah. I'm coming up with a new defense good Citrus Bowl on the spot here. Fit Texas offense good.
Yeah, money coming out of their gills. Really excited to tell everybody how much money they have and how much money they will spend to the point that they don't need your piddly revenue distribution from the ACC. We'll come in and we'll foot the bill for however long it is before we get a full distribution, which I will say does strike me like a way to call Florida State broke boys. which is something that fills me with a lot of happiness.
I do feel like there's stress on places like SMU now that we can pay above the table. Like, you got to step it up, man, because we know you're rich. Yeah. You specifically
we know you got
are
it.
Rich as shit.
We know you got it. Don't hide it.
Is there a Mark Carlton?
Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Mark, great
hey,
to see
Mark.
You.
Mark.
What are we doing?
What's up,
Mark,
baby?
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Richard Nelson.
Florida Gators. I
Those
know, too.
Fighting Florida Gators.
Positive or negative? I'm so happy I made this game up. Da-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, Jesus.
How is that respectful? Do you know what it's been like to work with so many Florida graduates, the time in which I've been in the media, to hear them whine multiple national titles in football? They won national titles in basketball that they don't even remember.
That's
like
right.
The way you leave something in a closet,
that's right?
Baseball, too, I think, right?
Yeah, there's surely. A baseball in there. There's a softball. There's a, yeah.
All right, we're being negative, but you're definitely a working member of the media. I still legally
no,
am.
I don't think it's...
How are we going to dance around this?
I don't think you have to dance around it. I think that there are 55 polos, and they are being mismanaged in that building. If you are going to be the coach and the coaching staff that is going to have this army of staffers and be attention to detail guy, you cannot lose games because you have 12 players on the field on special teams and four guys wearing the same jersey.
55 mismanaged polo sounds like a drug raid in Athens.
Like four.
Nobody barked.
But yes, thank you for not barking, Josh. For the public perception and the public relations push behind the attention to detail and all the systems and all the stuff, for them to be sloppy is unacceptable. And if you are a Florida fan who thinks that, yeah, I got you.
All right.
One or two more?
Yeah, we'll do two fast. Is there a Ryan Costello?
Woo. Woo. There we go.
I like instead of saying here, it was a woo.
Gig him. He
Where?
Says gig him. He wants to gig him. He would like to gig him.
Oh, he would. Would you like to gig positively or negatively?
All right, yeah. New coach bounce. You hear that? New coach bounce. He wants positive.
You got a great, hey. You got a great tax write-off coming, brother. Buddy, you're going to show depreciation until we're all dead. As far as I know, that's a Bobby Bonilla structure now that they've got the first chunk done.
It is.
How bad do you think they're going to wait him out? It'll be like he'll hang on. He'll get one of those like Ted Williams head preservation things just so he can stay alive. To keep getting paid
by
A&M.
This is my thing that I don't understand why the sport hasn't adopted this. Why can't they reassign him and make him work on campus for the next 8 years?
I thought we were being positive.
It is positive. He's no longer the coach at Texas A&M.
He's still in the building.
A&M teaches serious, important things for the United States. I don't want him as an instructor. Yes, and the Cutter, yes, all the ags in the front are yelling about, like, apparently Cutter bought A&M, which it's about time, SEC. We knew that oil money was coming. But I don't know if I want Jimbo Fisher doing any sort of critical instruction about the energy sector.
Think about the kids. That's what we're hearing.
Football-wise, the process was, like, kind of half fucked up, I would say, but they ended up with a good coach. I think we all agree. Ended up with a guy who's going to adopt, do more with less at a place that is addicted to more, if that makes sense. And so I don't necessarily think all the portaling out was a bad thing for them.
I do think that, boy, this is going to come back to bite me. I do think...
We are recording.
They kind of realized the error of their ways, kind of, in how they built that staff and that roster. Now... I think time will truly tell, but it does seem like there is what was and is an attempt to rectify some of the splashy hires and splashy roster spending and all that sort of stuff.
Could you elaborate theoretically if one were thinking about Oxford, Mississippi right now?
Well, we'll see where Mr. Judkins ends up.
Last one. Let's see. Ben Stafford. Where are we?
Hey!
Hey.
There you go. He wants to hear Alex talk shit about Penn State.
Thank you for ending the segment on a negative. I appreciate that's the spirit of our program. I appreciate that very much. I'm going to put one rule in place, and then I'll tap out for this. I want you to give the people what they want. Take a drink if you need to. I want you to clear those dulcet pipes.
Take a drink because...
And I want the entire stance done in a Yinzer accent.
One of...
I'm retired.
Oh.
Oh, he's hung folks.
It up. He's hung it up.
You lost him. You lost the crowd.
Those boos sound like what Richard was hearing from the press box in Happy Valley around the third quarter of the Michigan game.
The thing I will never forget, because I drove from Brooklyn to Penn State for the Penn State-Michigan game, and I will never forget, you know, I was on the phone with Alex, and we were talking, and I was like, dude, it's fucking bleak driving through this, man. Like, it is tough. And I'll never forget Alex told me, I grew up in Pittsburgh, but I've never been to Pennsylvania. And I was like, yeah, all right. That puts it into perspective. Negative on Penn State. This is just such a waste.
Ranked
man.
Opponents.
The last year has been such a waste to let that defensive coordinator out of the building. Yes, Tom Allen, but to let that defensive coordinator out of the building with that unit, the way they played all season, to not have been able to figure it out on offense, to miss on the position that the head coach came up coaching. I mean, it's just a miss.
At least James Franklin had the decency not to try to extort an extension out of this season. I think he'll go two years in a row on the same contract
not until the NFL calls.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah. Jesus.
The finesse king of the Big Ten.
That's it. Thank you very much for helping us write the season interview. I don't even know if we touched on that was the weirdest collection of programs. I'm very happy that you guys contributed to that.
And thank you again to the American Heart Association for being part of the event this evening. We are thrilled to be a small addition to what they do. So thank you very much to them. And I mentioned some of the other folks who have put this night together. We're going to talk about home field in a second. But you maybe met Wes from Nokian Tires around the time that you walked in. A dear friend of ours who has done both himself personally and his company a great deal to help us kind of put our big boy pants on as a little company. And makes great tires that we trust ourselves. So thank you to all of them for their involvement in this show. And
absolutely.
Are we going to open some shirts?
We got stuff. Who has something from home field that they want to open?
Get an envelope. You should all, or many of you should have envelopes from home field.
It's weird when you all hold them up together. It looks like we're in a cult.
All right. So shout out to Josh Johns from home field, who is on the side of the stage right now for devising what seemed like a highly competitive game to figure out what shirts are going to be being sent to people in the mail. It's a kind of a direct-to-consumer mystery box situation that we've got going on here. And
this is discreet packaging for your privacy, too, so we don't know what this is.
That's pretty clear. Richard, you're going to go first here.
Alrighty.
Show us what you got.
There's a way this can go very bad. It's garnet.
It looked garnet.
Oh, no, okay. All right.
We all wanted him to talk about the Noles. Yeah. All right, before I do, what'd you get?
I got a good one.
That's what I want.
The Washington Huskies.
Ooh. Wait, real fast, do we have
91-92 Rose Bowl.
Do we have more Huskies here than Michigan?
Do we have more Huskies? Can we get a little Washington bark?
All right.
How is that compared to a Georgia bark? Would anybody...
It's not as deep.
I didn't invite you to do that.
Yeah, it's not as deep. Yeah. Right. The Washington bark's a little bit higher.
If you have an envelope, go ahead and open it now. You can figure out what you got. Everybody can take a look.
Yeah, everybody with an envelope.
Open them
pop
up.
Them
see
open.
What you're getting. Being sent to you by Homefield.
All right. And I will open mine. And, oh, God, knowing our friends at Homefield so well.
There it is. The University of Michigan.
That's the ugliest possum I've ever seen.
Now you can
put
on.
Thanks, Connor. True story. First home field meetup that we ever did back in the Banner Society days. We went to Bloomington, Michigan at IU. It was this beautiful Indiana weather where it somehow is like snows and rains at the same time, but nothing melts unless it touches your face. We were standing there and I said, Connor, what I really want you to do It's fine. You won't lose the license. You take a picture of Ted Kaczynski. You put Michigan Man on it. They'll sell like hotcakes. And he said, can I introduce you to my father-in-law? He went to Michigan. He's standing right next to me. It was a wonderful moment. Fortified our relationship.
Thank you, Homefield. If you are still in the crowd tonight and have not yet gone and done the deal with Homefield in the back of the room there where you can play Josh's extremely complex game in order to get a shirt sent to you at a significant discount, right, Josh? $20. Wow. Basically giving it away. You can go and do that after the show. They're going to continue to sell.
No, they're not giving them away. Yeah, they're selling them. That's how it works.
Selling them. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said practically giving them away because the price is so low.
They're not practically giving them away.
Just even learn to sell.
It's fine. It's fine.
Learn to sell.
It's fine. It's fine. All right.
All right.
We have a guest.
Yeah, I did not consent to this, by the way.
You did not consent to this? How do you think I feel? How many minivan drivers do you need on one podcast, ladies and gentlemen? I would say my next guest needs no introduction because of an audience cross. Oh, God.
He is Ryan Nanny of the Shutdown Fullcast.
Yo.
Hey, Dad.
Hey.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, friends.
Hey there.
You don't look like Eddie Murphy at all.
Yeah, I'm acutely aware of that. Thank you. I don't sound like him either. I know there are some people here who are like, what the hell? I listen to Split Zone Duo specifically because it's not the Shutdown Fullcast.
No, some of these psychos listen to both. And I don't know how.
Stop it.
I don't know how you people do that.
Those psychos are paying my mortgage. Be cool. To those of you here who fall into that category, I just want to say one thing. Welcome!
We did not...
He's invaded.
We didn't even talk
They've
about
invaded.
That backstage.
I didn't clear that with them. We're going to play a little game that I did not invent and it requires me to say something that my wife would be very disappointed that I'm about to say. We're going to play Circle of Suck. Split Zone Duo...
Please describe it quickly,
Split Zone Duo... No, we're going to go slow, Steven.
This is a family show. Family podcast.
Split Zone Duo, you know, it's the whole hog, right? Well, we're going to look at every goddamn piece of the hog. We're going to go through all 133 FBS teams. Starting from the year 2000, we're going to include, we're going to set a couple of rules for this. So the way a circle of suck works is pretty simple. You're just building a big circle where all the teams have beat one another and it all loops back on itself. This was very easy to do in the years of the ACC Coastal. They just like served it up every year. It was amazing.
Get ready, SMU.
We're going to build a couple of ground rules here. Like I said, we're only including games from the year 2000 on so that the younger two co-hosts can maybe have seen some of these. We're not going to do any bowl games, and we're not going to do any conference games. So if you're all excited to talk about how Kansas beat Texas, which is a thing that has happened and was delightful, it's not on this list, and I'm sorry.
I can see his fans.
Which time?
This one guy looked up to God for a second.
Yeah.
He's not coming.
So let's start. We got a lot of these to get through. We're going to stop for a little call and response, see if y'all can guess where I'm going with these. But Alex, I want you to pick any FBS team for me to start with.
NC State.
Okay.
That's my, like, if I just picked, like, the most generic, fine FBS program.
Dave Dorn's gonna fight you.
I said they're fine.
It's not good enough.
Is he? Wait, he's here.
All right, here we go. In 2022, NC State beat East Carolina, who beat TCU in 2002, who beat Clemson in 2009. Clemson always beats South Carolina. They did that this year. South Carolina beat Coastal Carolina in 2018. They beat Jacksonville State in 2023. Who did Jacksonville State beat in 2021? Does anybody remember?
Ooh.
That's right, they did beat Florida State. They sure did do that shit.
This is like a magic trick where it gets to the insult you wanted the whole time.
This is more prep than I've done for like the last 6 months of Shutdown Fullcast. Florida State beat Northern Illinois in 2018. Who beat Georgia Tech in 2021? Who beat Army in 2007, who beat San Jose State in 2018, who beat Stanford in 2006, who started the 2017 season in Australia, where they beat, does anyone know? That's correct.
Oh, yes.
Where they beat Rice.
Houston's hometown team.
Fire, yeah.
In 2013, Rice beat Kansas. They beat Nevada in 2023. They beat Buffalo in 2015. And in 2018, Buffalo got their first win over a Big Ten opponent when they beat Rutgers.
Yeah.
Ooh. Rutgers beat Eastern Michigan in 2013. They beat Texas State in 2021. Texas State got their first win as an FBS program in 2012 when they beat... It's Houston. Sorry.
Ooh. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That wasn't the good Texas State.
Yeah. But Houston beat a little old team named Oklahoma in 2016.
Ooh.
Oklahoma beat North Texas in 2007. They beat Liberty in 2018.
Sorry, that was just,
Ready for that.
I can't see it, and I'm scared of... Whatever that was.
Liberty beat Bowling Green in 2023. Bowling Green beat Maryland in 2015. But Alex Kirshner, who did Maryland beat in 2018 and 2019?
Tell him. Tejas.
That's right.
Tell him.
Once?
That was, just
was it
to be clear,
once?
It was.
That was in 2018, but also in 2017.
Yeah, 2017, yes.
Hey.
Texas beat UTSA in 2022, who beat Illinois in 2021. In 2021, Illinois then went on to beat Charlotte, who then went on to beat Duke. Duke beat Vanderbilt in 2008. Vanderbilt beat Old Dominion in 2014. Old Dominion beat Virginia Tech in 2018. And in maybe the last important Virginia Tech game that I can remember, who did they beat in 2014?
Oh, I know.
My friend in the front row.
That's right. That's
you
right.
You can laugh about it. You can laugh. No time. That's I'm not even being mean because I'm going to give them the chance to say who Virginia Tech beat in 2014 and then what happened to that team that they beat in 2014.
The Ohio State Buckeyes, who then would go on to win a national championship.
All right.
Something that Michigan has not done since 4EP television.
That's existed.
Got him. Got him.
That was great, and we have minimal security. This is not good.
In 2015, Ohio State beat Western Michigan, who was one of only two teams in the regular season to beat 2021 Pitt, one of the most confusing teams you'll ever watch. Pitt, of course, beat West Virginia in 2022. They beat Marshall in 2012. Marshall beat Kansas State in 2003, a thing I don't remember at
wow.
all.
Wow.
Oh.
Oh, I remember that game vividly. I mean, like it was yesterday.
Yeah, I bet.
Hate you.
Yeah.
Probably
Byron Leftwich.
Kansas State beat USC in 2002. USC beat Minnesota in 2011. They beat Tulsa in 2005. Who beat Fresno State in 2016? Who beat Oregon State in 2003? Who beat Wisconsin in 2012? Who beat LSU in 2016? Do you remember where that game was?
Is it here?
Lambeau Field.
That's right. Lambeau Field, yeah.
Yeah, Godfrey's favorite thing when two college football teams play in an NFL stadium.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
He has a lot of bad memories from NFL stadiums,
that's
to be
true.
Clear.
That's so. True. You will note he is not coming to the game Monday night.
Godfrey, why do you have so much against the only stadium in
Shut
North
up.
America where the Falcons haven't lost?
Keep
Moving
going,
right along, LSU beat Washington in 2009. They beat Syracuse in 2010. Syracuse beat Toledo in 2011. In the year 2008, does anybody know who Toledo beat? That's correct.
The Michigan, was a Michigan fan.
The Michigan Wolverines.
Your sins.
Wait, so they lost to App State and then fucking Toledo the next
flipped
year?
It, yes. When I built this, Godfrey was like, so you're putting App State over Michigan? And I was like, there's a deeper cut here that I would like to present.
Especially to lose an in-state game to a team like Toledo.
That's a deeply Michigan burn.
Fortunately, there was a
very regional insult.
Because in 2016, Michigan beat UCF. UCF beat Connecticut in 2021. That wasn't a conference game at the time. It used to be, which is a fun thing to say. UConn beat Boston College in 2022. They beat Mizzou in 2021. They beat Arizona State in 2012. They beat UNLV in 2021. UNLV beat Utah in 2007. And before Utah was a Pac-12 member, they beat Cal in 2003. Cal beat Northwestern in 2014. Northwestern beat Navy in 2002. Navy beat Georgia Southern in 2014, and because turnabout is fair fucking play,
and
who did Georgia Southern not need to complete a pass to beat?
Yeah, gee, I wonder where this
no
is going.
No pass is completed. I'm sorry, yeah. Can everyone tell me one more time? I didn't hear it.
Yeah, shocker.
Go Gator.
I was covering that game, and I remember looking at my colleague in like halfway through the third quarter, and I was like, they're going to fucking lose this game. He's like, yeah, absolutely. And I played with a kid I played in high school with was actually on Georgia Southern's team. And his entire family was there, everything like that.
You still friends?
I didn't assume Richard was going to be the one who wanted to talk more about that game. Cool. Florida beat Miami in 2019. Probably won't happen again.
Week one, 2024.
That's week right. One, 2024.
Miami opened the 2023 season by beating who?
Miami.
The other Miami, correct. Miami, Ohio. Miami, Ohio beat Cincinnati in 2023. They beat UCLA in 2019. They beat Memphis in 2014. And Memphis has beaten this SEC school four times since 2000, most recently in 2019.
What?
Hottie goddamn toddy. My favorite part about that is
he's going to text you.
Of the last four games... The only wins that Ole Miss has in that series have all been overturned.
Why? Why?
Where's my phone?
Wanting it too badly. Ole Miss beat Boise State in 2014. Boise State traveled to the Chick-fil-A kickoff in 2011 and beat Georgia.
The uniforms. Remember the uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
You all remember the uniforms.
Georgia beat Oregon in 2022. Deeply competitive game. Oregon beat BYU in 2022 as well. They beat Sam Houston State in 2023. They beat New Mexico in 2011. And New Mexico in 2004 withstood 69 pass attempts by the current Louisiana... It is nice. Thank you. Louisiana Tech's current coach when he was at Texas Tech.
Sonny Cumbie.
That's
correct.
Is he
still the coach? Right.
Yeah, he's still there. Yeah.
Continues to be Louisiana Tech's coach for, I don't know, probably another 10 months, 11 months.
Sure. Jesus. I don't know about college football. Don't ask me.
Well, okay, you called the shot on Ryan Silverfield in Memphis, and then they went like 10-2. So, right.
But it wasn't an acceptable 10-2.
It was not a good, it was a cheap 10.
Yeah, okay.
It was an ugly 10-2.
Right.
It was a cheap 10.
Right.
A cheap 10, not a dignified 10.
Uh-huh.
Texas Tech beat Utah State in 2000. Utah State beat Wake Forest in 2014. They beat Tulane in 2018. Who beat FIU in 2019, who beat Louisville in 2011, who beat USF in 2022. We're coming to my favorite part, the thing I basically built this whole game around.
Yes.
Who did USF, with Skip Holtz leading the team onto the field, beat on the road in 2011?
Yes.
It's Notre Dame.
Yes.
That's right. There is a God, and he hates Notre Dame. Notre Dame beat Air Force in 2013. They beat Georgia State in 2016. Who did Georgia State open 2019 with a road win over?
Tennessee.
That's correct.
God.
My wife went there and she's not here. Tennessee beat UAB in 2010. They beat Baylor in 2004. Baylor beat ULM in 2013. ULM.
Yes.
Is anybody here?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Anybody here? Say it. No, if you're, say it.
There it is.
That's correct. Alabama beat Kent State in 2016. Kent State beat South Alabama.
most...
Listen, man. This is hard shit to do.
When I text you and you're like, I'm busy, I'll call you later. This is what you're doing?
No, I'm usually pooping.
Really long one.
Shh. Don't judge. Kent State beat South Alabama in 2011. South Alabama beat Mississippi State in 2016.
Yeah, geez,
who was waiting on that one?
That was like someone in a relationship. Oh, there it is. Yep, he's going to bring it up. I'm leaving.
Mississippi State beat Louisiana in 2019. They beat Iowa State in 2020. In 2022, who did Iowa State beat by a score of 10-7? This is the easiest possible question. The answer is, of course, Iowa. Iowa beat MTSU in 2019. They beat Colorado State in 2022. They beat Colorado in 2014. Colorado beat UMass in 2015. Who did UMass start this season by beating? New Mexico State. And who did New Mexico State just so happen to beat this self same year?
Take it home, guys. I can't hear anybody. I'm sorry. What? He's gonna text. He's gonna somehow hear about this. I've got the phone out waiting.
Auburn beat Arkansas State in 2010. They beat Texas A&M in 2008.
They did.
Yeah, that's not. Jesus. I feel like that got missed when they submitted their application to the SEC. Texas A&M beat SMU in 2011. SMU beat Washington State in 2010. Washington State beat Wyoming in 2018. They beat App State in 2023. They beat UNC in 2019, and it was delightful, and I hope it happens every year. UNC beat James Madison in 2016. And there's a friend in the audience that I swear I didn't try to pair them up like this, but JMU beat Virginia in 2023. Yeah, I'm sorry. Virginia beat Ohio in 2018. Ohio beat Kentucky in 2004.
Wow.
Yeah.
In football?
I know we talk about this a lot, but goddamn, Kentucky used to be a real dumpster fire. Kentucky beat UTEP in 2002. UTEP beat San Diego State in 2006. San Diego State beat Arizona in 2021. They beat Arizona beat Central Michigan in 2009. In 2006, Brian Kelly and Al Golden faced off as Central Michigan vanquished Temple. But then Temple in 2015, for the first time in over 70 years, beat who?
LSU.
Penn State, friends! Yeah. Penn State beat Southern Miss in 2001. Southern Miss beat Les Miles in his very first game as head coach at Oklahoma State.
Wow.
Oklahoma State beat FAU in 2007. FAU beat Hawaii in 2004. They beat Purdue in 2006. Purdue beat Ball State in 2010. Connor, are you here still?
I see him.
Connor, what is the rough range of time that you were a student at Indiana? Well, I have great news. You just missed the 2012 game where Ball State beat Indiana. Indiana beat Western Kentucky in 2022. Western Kentucky got an SEC coach fired after 22 games when they beat who in 2019? That's right.
Whoopee. Not only did they get an SEC coach fired, but I believe Western Kentucky did that with a quarterback that said coach had run off.
Yes, that is correct.
Not good. Not what you want.
It certainly wasn't what Arkansas wanted. Arkansas beat Troy in 2011. And in 2018, Troy dropped what team to 0-2 to start the season for the first time since 1957?
That's right.
Nebraska.
Everybody thought that was LSU.
Yeah.
Nebraska. Nebraska beat Louisiana Tech in 2023. They beat Michigan State in 2003. Michigan State. You know what? Nah. You're about to play
for a national title. Seriously, they're at home.
But surely Michigan State's having a good time otherwise.
Everything's fine.
Michigan State shut out Akron in 2022. And Akron beat NC State in 2006. That is your circle of suck.
Thank you, Ryan Nanny.
I don't know whether to be impressed or fearful.
It's called a watch list. That's why they exist. Yeah. One programming note. Is he behind me still?
No, he's left.
He left
before I could announce it. We have one programming note coming up. I want to say mid-January-ish. Is that correct?
Yep.
That individual who was just on stage, what did we do for 3.5 hours the other day?
He made me watch The Blind Side, which is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Here's the truth. I called him, I was like, it's going to be really funny. And I guess it was, but about 5 minutes in, we were just like, oh, this is so racist.
I am...
Holy shit.
I am personally very excited. So for the uninitiated, we are dropping the Blindside commentary track in mid to late January. I have actually never seen the Blindside. So I will see...
Well, we've got a treat for you.
I will see the Blindside for the first time with my old pal Godfrey and Ryan Nanny narrating the entire movie. I'm very excited.
Yes.
When Brian Kelly went before the LSU basketball game and did his whole Foghorn Leghorn thing...
My family.
He definitely watched the Blindside like 10 minutes before that happened.
Thank you, Ryan Nanny. We have one segment left, and I want to address an accusation I really feel like is completely unfair.
Which one?
It's been on the show for a while. It's been in the comments. I think it's been amongst our colleagues that I somehow, and I don't know how this has been gleaned, have a problem with Michigan.
Yeah, how could anybody think that?
I don't get it. I don't think it's funny. It insults my credibility.
So keep doing it.
So with that in mind, we do something. We've done it at every live show. We bring up some fans on stage. You guys are like, I'm going to pick, because it's the national title weekend, I want to go by those teams, okay? So we're going to have some Huskies answer some questions. We're going to have some Michigan fans answer some questions. And just so it's on the up and up, okay, don't say, aw, it's totally fair. Michigan is going to be on Richard's team, and Washington's going to be on mine, and I may or may not have written all the questions. Okay, one Washington fan, get up here. All right, I need another
if
Washington
you want,
fan.
You have agency.
I need a Washington fan. Don't get shy or I'll find you. I need a Washington fan that wants to compete for prizes.
That's not close enough.
Anybody else from UW want to do it before I grab this Buckeye? All right, come on up. Let's go.
Stolen Valor.
I need two Wolverines. I need two Wolverines. And not the ones creeping over my shoulder at a great target range.
Can you get down here fast enough?
I got one Wolverine right here.
Pick my man up top. He's coming down.
Let's go.
He's coming down. He's coming down. He's on the move.
Thank you for not jumping.
He's on the move.
On to me. On to me specifically.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't have near enough insurance for that.
You guys are with me? All right, you guys are with me. All right. Okay, feels good.
I got one Michigan guy. It's coming from the back.
I've never said this in my life. I need more Michigan people. Where are you?
Do we need a second Michigan fan?
I don't know. Yes, we
man's
need another
in the
Michiganer.
Back. Man's
let's
in
go.
The back.
Let's go. Come on.
We got one right here.
Pretend we're talking about World War II. Put some pep in it.
All right.
Fucking dorks.
What's up, man? Richard, nice to meet you. What's up, man?
Actually, that is a really cool shirt. I really like that shirt. Yes. All right. Wolverines, assemble. You guys are all probably like CPA trial lawyers. You're organized. All right. Okay. Totally fair. Totally unbiased. Are we ready? Okay. So, are you guys going to the game?
Yeah.
You guys are going to the game? All right. Good deal. You got a prediction? I don't care. All right. You guys going to the game? You guys? No. You're not? Why not? You're not going to go? Yeah, no, I got you. Nothing bad happens in NRG Stadium. Shut up. All right, gentlemen.
This is going to make for very intelligible audio for those listening at home. I can tell
Richard you. Johnson, you are allowed to help Team Michigan. You guys are going to answer three very easy trivia questions about Washington. If you answer more trivia questions right, you win. Then the actual Huskies. Are you guys ready?
So I'm going to stand in the middle of this, and it's the Michigan fans answering questions about Washington, and it's the Washington fans answering questions about Michigan.
Okay.
We're going to start with the Michigan fans being asked questions
about
Washington.
I don't want to hear about how things are unfair. Okay, question one. How many Huskies are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Also name all of them.
You can?
No, I was just saying
this is a live audio recording.
There's sidebar being done.
I do actually know one. I can give you one.
Look, a bunch of Michigan people in a conspiracy.
I had one.
What you got?
Warren Moon.
That is one. Unfortunately, you did not get the rest. Hugh McElhaney, Arnie Weinmeister.
Who the fuck?
Who could forget? And Don Cornell.
Maybe.
It's totally fair. Question number two. Washington is the first team to make the playoff championship after finishing 0-12 in the modern era. God, y'all were bad. Who led Washington in passing during their 0-12 year, and where does he work now?
It's Jake Locker, and he works for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Incorrect.
Damn!
It is Ronnie Fauch, whose stat line was 4 TDs and 13 interceptions.
What?
All right, let's try and get on the board.
What year? What year? Oh.
Mm-mm, nope, no feedback. Question number three. Try and get on the board, okay? It's not like Urban Meyer's up here.
Yeah.
Washington colors, the Huskies' colors are purple and gold. That's not the question. Name the Romantic era poet who inspired this choice and the poem.
What? What?
It wasn't Edgar Allan Poe.
No. How would I ever guess that?
Oh, it's not Homer? The smart school, is it? The answer is Lord Byron. It's called, I can't even pronounce it because I got kicked out of Ole Miss twice. The Destruction of, so, I don't know, Shinabob. We'll go with that. Okay, boys, come here. All right, it's going to
play school. They sure did.
It's going to be slightly different. All right, we're not going to answer Michigan trivia so much as I'm going to read you a statement, okay? And you guys are going to tell me, did this come from a Michigan message board or a January 6th defendant?
I just want to say happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Tell them. Do you know the rules? You got it? Michigan, Jan 6. It can be tough. Tyrannical leaders often look to take existing rules and misuse them for their own personal purposes. Was that stated in a legal trial against a Jan 6 defendant or a Michigan message board? That is correct. It is Michigan. It was a Michigan message board. Question number two. Or rather, statement. Some might say manifesto.
Connor Stallions is not here.
When an individual believes they won't get a fair hearing in a kangaroo court, then it's reasonable to get information needed to protect oneself from a biased, one-sided process. January 6th defendant, Michigan message board. Oh, I'm sorry, say it again.
Michigan?
It's Michigan, you are correct. Boys, it's a 2-0 lead. We're just running up the score now. Last question. You
Stop
ready?
Stop it. The chances are that both of these Michigan men are lawyers.
Yeah.
And this feels a bit stacked. Feels a bit stacked against them at the moment.
Oh, you're accusing me of cheating. What a Michigan thing to do. All right. Question number three in this completely fair and unbiased process.
Mike
Last
Pence
statement.
Didn't have the courage to do what needed to be done.
We're not talking about Indiana football. You mean galvanizing a nation to break from a tyrannical dictator on the way to becoming a free people with a home of their own? Jan 6 or Michigan? Are you sure?
It sounds Michigan.
Jan 6 or Michigan? It's Michigan. You win, guys. Thanks for playing. I appreciate you guys being up here.
You guys also win money, just to be clear.
Everybody wins, unlike in the case of January 6th.
Oh, so you're changing the rules.
Everybody wins.
Really? Oh, now it's okay to cheat, I guess, after 2023.
Our tremendous
you guys win. Thanks for coming up. Thanks
go
for playing.
Go and find Josh Johns of Homefield in the back of the
hey,
room.
Josh
All four
Josh
participants
you got
have Homefield gift cards coming to him. He's waving. He's very handsome. He's right back there. Thank you for playing and being good sports.
We have one job left before we end this recording. We had one job.
Did you want to say any pleasantries at the end?
We can say a lot of pleasantries. We do have a job for you guys. Am I taking the video?
Yeah. Longest arms.
Yeah, okay. Before we take a quick intermission and come back and do the Q&A.
Explain this, Richard.
We are going to take a video for a little fan-sponsored content.
And what do we need everyone to do?
It's actually not sponsored. We're just doing it ourselves.
That's true. It's us sponsored. We do need everybody on the count of three to hit us with probably the world's largest thank you, Lee. You'll figure out why later. Do use my phone because you got
Steven,
like an
do you
iPhone
know how to do
two.
Video?
They're making fun of me because I have an old man iPhone.
You got like an iPhone.
So, Steven, you want it to be typically vertical.
Yeah. You don't know what 0.5
zoom
is.
Tell the old guy how to take a picture.
All right.
You can do it.
I'll do it. All right. On three.
Everybody's going to yell thank you, Lee. You ready?
One, two, three.
Thank you, Lee.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
We'll be back.
We'll be back. We'll thank be you, right guys. Back.